And Paul, no doubt in jail, he would sit there and he would talk to Timothy. And if they were talking today, Paul might have been saying to Timothy, yo, T-Dog, what up, man? Them people in the pie, they're off the hook, bro. You know, even when I was in Philippi and the popo put me in the jail.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best.
Philippians chapter 2. Verses 17 through 30. And Paul continues on with his letter to the Philippians, his epistle that he wrote to them while he was in prison. And Paul says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it shall go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and my companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my need. For he longed after you, and was full of heaviness, because ye heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick near unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. I want to speak to you on this thought this morning. When you care enough to serve only the very best. When you care enough to serve only the very best. You all remember the commercial that was out when I think it was Hallmark or some flowers or something. It said, when you care enough to only send the very best. And it's saying that if you send one of these cards or if you send these flowers, that you will be sending the best that you can. In this passage that we have under consideration today, Paul was talking about caring. He's talking about three individuals who cared for the Philippians. He's talking about himself who cared for the Philippians as a sacrifice. He's talking about Timothy who cared for the Philippians as a son. And he's talking about Epaphroditus, who cared for the Philippians as a soldier. And so as we come today, I want to say that as believers, do you care enough to only serve the very best? That do you care about others to the point that you are going to serve your very best in reaching out and meeting needs in the body of Christ to those who are hurting, to those who are in need? I was reading a story about a lady who drowned in Lake Michigan. And as she was drowning, she cried for help. And there were three able-bodied men that heard her cries, and they just stood by and watched her drown. When the rescue squad came, they fished the lady's body out of the lake. And as she came up out of the lake and her lifeless body lied there, somebody asked the question, why didn't you help her? This lady was drowning. How come no one helped her? And the response that came from the three men, this is a true story, the response that came is the water was too cold. My brothers and sisters, do you care? Do you care enough to serve only the very best. I think about all the stories we hear about people being attacked on the streets and people just driving by and people walking by. Do we really care? When we think about people who are hurting in the body of Christ, we ask the question, do we really care? Three Dog Night, that group back in the 70s, those 70s theologians, some of y'all know Three Dog Night, they ask these questions in a song. How can people be so heartless? How can people be so cruel? It's easy to be hard. It's easy to be cold. How can people have no feelings? How can people ignore their friends? It's easy to be proud. It's easy to say no. Now, some of y'all can start crooning that for me. How could people? But they were asking the question, how could people be so heartless? How could people be so cruel? And so as we look at our life and we look at the fact that God has called us to care for others, the question today isn't how sensitive are we to the needs of others? Oh, watch this now. Watch this. The question is not how sensitive are we to the needs of others, but the question is why are we so insensitive to the needs of others? And as I began to ponder this question and read and study, two things came to my mind. Why is it that we are so insensitive to the needs of others? And the first thing that came to my spirit is that we've been desensitized to the needs of others. We've just been desensitized. You look at your news and you turn on, you hear tragedies. You pick up your newspaper, all you hear is tragedies. You go to work and you hear about tragedies. And we have had so much turmoil and confusion, so many tragedies around us, that we just become desensitized to the whole idea and issue that there are people hurting and that God has called us to care. I repeat to you the words of Three Dog Night. How can people be so heartless? How can people be so cruel? It's easy to be hard. It's easy to be cold. How can people have no feelings? How can they ignore their friends? It's easy to be proud. It's easy to say no. And we have become desensitized around us to the needs that are there. And you know, I thank God for this church and the people of this church. And so for many of us today, hopefully this is a reminder. This is not a rebuke. As we preach expositorily through the word of God, you know, we have to deal with the passages as they come. So this was the passage that we're at today. And like I said, hopefully for many, this is not a rebuke. This is not a conviction, but this is a word of encouragement to keep on caring. I know last week, Pastor Blaze was hurting. And it was so good to hear the voicemails, so good to get the emails, so good to come last Monday night and to receive the encouragement and support of the body of Christ. Thank God that we were not like the song that Three Dog Night sang about. How can people be so heartless? Thank God that there's people in this church that tie into the needs of others, that there are people in this church that care and that are concerned about you. There was a lady named Mamie. She had gone to the post office many days, and one day she was there, and there was a long line of people, and somebody said to her, look, why don't you go to the machine? You can get stamps out of the machine if that's all you want. She said, well, stamps are all I want. And she said, they said, well, why don't you go to the machine and get stamps out of the machine instead of standing in this long line? And her response says, I know, but the machine can't ask me about my arthritis. My. People want to know that you care about them. My brothers and sisters, let's keep the fires of concern and care burning. Let's keep the fires of compassion burning in our hearts and not let them die out. And then another reason
why people are so insensitive sometimes is because it costs something to care. It costs something to care. Whenever you care, you've got to do something. Whatever you care, that you've got to be motivated. You've got to get up off your seat and you've got to go and you've got to put that care and concern into action. And sometimes we'd rather just sit back and not do anything because it's going to cost us something to care about someone else. I heard a story about Dawson Trotman, who was the founder of the Navigators Ministry, and many of you have used his material. He was heavy into discipleship. He was a great discipleship individual, and was responsible for writing that one book, discipleship book, The Life of Christ, which we use here. He was out at the lake one day, and there were two young ladies that were swimming in the lake, and both of them started to go down, and they were drowning. And Dawson Trotman jumped in, and he saved the one young lady, brought her back to the shore, and he went for the other one. And a few moments later, they saw neither Dawson Trotman or the young lady. Both of them drowned. Here was this great man of God, this man that God used to write much of the literature that we read in discipleship today. And here he drowned. Time magazine had a write-up about his death, and in the magazine it said, Trotman was always lifting somebody else up. He was always lifting somebody else up. What about you? God, you see, it costs something to care. And that's what Paul is admonishing us in the second chapter of the book of Philippians. Let's get into our text today. The first thing that I want to do, let's read the introduction in your notes. You'll see that it says here, in this passage, Paul expresses his heart for the church at Philippi. He wanted them to understand three things about the caring nature of the faithful servants of God. First, he wanted them to know how much he cared for them, even to the point that he was being offered up as a sacrifice for them. Second, he wanted to inform them that Timothy's upcoming visit, and Timothy was one who had a genuine concern for their well-being. And third, he wanted them to honor Epaphroditus, one of their own, who cared for them and ministered to Paul's needs. So Paul's writing with a threefold message in this particular precope to let the Philippians know that there was a great concern for them. The first thing that he talks about is his sacrifice. And that's the first point of our outline. Paul, who was the sacrifice? Look what he says here. As I read through this and read through it, I said, Lord, how in the world can you preach this right here? I said, it just wasn't making any sense to me until I began to see this theme that was developing in this passage. And then it became an eye-opening, powerful revelation of the depth and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of this passage right here. This is one of the most powerful passages as I've been going through the book of Philippians. This is one of the most powerful passages that I've came across yet. He says here, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Now, in order to understand this passage, we have to go back to the Old Testament and the concept of the drink offering. And the drink offering was an offering, usually of wine or some type of liquid, that was poured upon the regular offering. And so what would happen is the worshiper would bring their animal to the priest, and as they brought their animal to the priest, the priest would slay the animal, cut its throat, drain out all the blood, and then the priest would cut the animal up into pieces and then put the animal upon the altar. At that point, a fire was continually burning, and the fire would consume the sacrifice. And then after that, what the offerer would do was offer up a drink offering. And what they would do is they would take a cup or some type of vessel and pour the drink upon the altar where the animal had been consumed. When they poured the drink on there, a puff of smoke would rise, and that would symbolize, Lord, receive this offering.
Paul says, I'm poured out like a drink offering. What he's saying? He said that.
He says, yea, if I be poured upon the sacrifice of your service and your faith, I joy and rejoice. You see, Paul had invested time. Paul had invested time in the Philippians. And the time that he invested in them, now they were serving. Now they were having faith. Now they were growing. And Paul said, that is the real sacrifice there. That is the burnt offering right there. He said that you are the sacrifice. The fact that you're serving God, the fact that you love God, the fact that you have faith, that's the real sacrifice. Yeah. He said, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. I'm in jail. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. He said, and if my life can just be poured on the sacrifice of your service, that brings me great joy. I think about the retreat that the youth went on last week. And to hear testimonies about the retreat. And that here, these leaders invested in the lives of the youth that came to the retreat, that they input into their life. And that was, and to hear the youth stand up and see these youth up here singing and praising God, that's the sacrifice. Yeah. And Van and Chandra and Scott and anyone else who went, what did they do? They took their libation and they poured it upon the sacrifice. When you invest time in somebody else, you know, Paul knew that he was getting ready to go to glory. And he says, when I stand before God, I don't want to think that all the time that I preached and all the letters that I wrote were in vain. I want to know that it made a difference. And so when I see him serving God, when I see him loving God, that's the real sacrifice. And I'm just like a drink offering. Poured on the sacrifice. When you invest time in your children and you pray for your children, And you try to do special things for your children, and you put a lot of time into your children, and you see their life and how that they grow up to love God, and they grow up to serve God. You can look at that and say their life is a sacrifice. Oh, God, thank you that their life is a sacrifice. And I was just a drink offering that was poured on top of the sacrifice. Are you a drink offering today? Are you being poured out upon the sacrifice? Are you being poured out upon the sacrifice of somebody else? Of somebody else's life? Whose life are you being poured out upon? Are you able to look at somebody and say, man, look at that person. They're living for the Lord. They love God. They're not perfect, but they're trying. They don't have it all together, but their heart is going in the right direction. They are the real sacrifice. That's the real sacrifice right there. I'm just a drink offering. I'm just being poured out. Man, what a powerful concept that Paul introduces here. He's so concerned. And notice here that he can say, well, look, I'm the one that started the church in Philippi. I'm the one that led the Philippian jail under Christ. I'm the one who cast out the demon in that lake. I'm the one who baptized Lydia. He said, no, you are it. You are the sacrifice. And I just want my life, when it comes down to the end, to be seen as a libation. That the important thing, and you know, the important thing was not the libation. That wasn't an important thing. The important thing was not the drink. All that did was just, all that was liquid that was poured on there and a puff of smoke that went up in the sky. That's all that that was. Paul said the most important thing is the sacrifice. But wait a minute, you are the Apostle Paul. You're a bad dude. You're next to Jesus Christ in the church. Paul said, and look,
Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. What mind? A mind of humility, a mind of servanthood. Paul says that I'm just a libation. I'm just a drink offering. Man, do you see the humility coming out of this brother? When we look at concern, we first see Paul, the sacrifice, and then we see Timothy, the son. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 22. But you know the proof of him that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Paul said, this is my spiritual son, Timothy. Timothy is mentioned 28 times in the letters of Paul. They had a special relationship. Paul nurtured Timothy. Paul encouraged Timothy. And now Paul calls him, hey, this is my son in the faith. And what was getting ready to happen is that Timothy, because Paul was, he was chained up. Paul was in jail. But he wanted to see how the Philippians were doing. He was concerned about them, and he wanted to see how they were doing, so he was getting ready to send Timothy. And as he contemplates sending Timothy, look what he says in verse 22, or verse 19. He said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. He says that when Timothy comes, then I'll know how things are going, and I'll know that everything is all right. And then look what he says. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul said, now look, read the end of the chapter of Philippians, end of the book. All these folk are with Paul in Philippi. And Paul says, I have no one like-minded except Timothy that I can send to you. If you would, bear along with me as I read from the notes. Because once again, this says it better than I can say it. Timothy, first of all, his concern for, as a son, for the Philippians originated from two sources. Timothy had concern as a son because he had the heart of the father. And who was his father? Who was his spiritual father? Paul. Timothy was like-minded. From the Greek, the word is ipsukos, isos, which means equal, and suke, which means soul or mind. It means to be of one soul or mind, thus to have a heart for the same things. As you read the epistle to the Philippians, it's clear to see that Paul had a heart of concern for the people of this church. And he was confident that when Timothy showed up, he would have the same heart and soul. Paul loved these folk. You know, you read through the rest of the New Testament. You need to take Deacon Boston's survey course, New Testament survey. One of the things that you will find out is that just about all the epistles, Paul had a negative condemning message to a lot of people as he wrote those epistles. In the Galatians, he rebuked them. The people in the church of Colossae, they were dealing with some issues. Oh my goodness, let's not even think about the church at Corinth and all the issues that they had. Yeah. So Paul, this is one letter where you find very few criticisms and you find very few rebukes coming from the apostles because they had it together and they were trying to do things the right way. And Paul loved it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.